Well, well, well. Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, father of the year. Happy Father's Day, Shane. Cousin Shane, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Yeah. You know what?
Come on, old man. It's your day. Enjoy it. The thermostat is yours today.
So what's the temperature over at your place? Are you allowed to do however you want over there?
She's covered up like an Eskimo, you know, because today's daddy's day. So, and I want to say shout out to the women of our lives that make our lives easier. Mine was spectacular. She let me golf all weekend. I didn't have to take the dogs out. Didn't have to do dog duty. Didn't do any chore. Didn't do nothing. Just got to do what Cousin Shane wanted to do today, and that was golf. That was drink some beer. That was eat where I want, and more importantly, be with you guys this evening. And so I appreciate everybody. And it's not too late if you forgot. They're like, oh shit, I forgot. Text your dad real quick after the show and let him know Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know who also didn't forget, Shane?
Who's that?
The legend, JR. He's come back. On, he's back again. Shout out, JR. Da-da-da-da.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
This time, Shane, it's mini solo. Mini,
welcome
to the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by cousin JR.
Yes. Thank you, JR.
Thank you, cuz.
That's awesome.
Hey, by the way, best 18 holes I put together today. Low score, 96 today. It was a big deal. And I got a birdie, but I wasn't filming it. The one time I'm not filming it.
Oh, well. I didn't even realize. So you got a full 18 in today, huh?
Yeah, bright and early. Why? She got a little upset because she wanted me to go to church with her, which I probably should have done, you know. I'm glad it was raining. I was afraid there was lightning going to hit, you know. She's like, you can get up early for that, you know. But anyway, it's Father's Day.
Brodo says, Cousin Shane had Cracker Barrel for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Father's Day.
I got to see all three today.
You know? Hey, shout out Caleb Long. Shane, he's been a member of the family for 9 months. Yeah. It's 12 a.m. in London right now, cousins, which is where I'm at. But beware the zoo. Once that North end zone gets done, will be cold, hard place to play. Caleb, thank you so much for being a part of the family here.
I was hoping to see Flying Hawaiian on here because he turns his phone off every Father's Day just in case he gets a call. Dad?
Cousin Tony says you killed a birdie with your driver is what you probably did.
Yeah, I did. I mean, not today. Today was good. Today was a great day. Great day. Yesterday, terrible. Today, awesome.
Yeah. And Cousin Luis, he's got a question here. Who's the next team preview? It's going to be on Ole Miss Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We're keeping Sunday show. We're still trying to do it like all SEC so we don't get all in the fall camp mode so that everybody can be covered. So on this episode, Shane.
Yeah.
Best home field advantages in the SEC. And I mean, you could do it however you want, but I did it as what are the best home fields in 2025? I don't really care what your papaw's got to say about, you know, how hard it was to go into Oxford and win a game. I mean, it may have been, you know, and again, all these places when they're rocking, when they're at night, they can be difficult to play. Just ask Alabama, Nick Saban, only place that ain't tough to play Vanderbilt, and they go and get their ass handed to them by Vanderbilt. So all these places, Shane, mm-hmm. are difficult to play.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving flowers to everybody. No, no, no. I'm picking the best of the best in 2025. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds great, man. Sounds great. Can't wait to pick this list apart.
Did you have any?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I do, but I want to see where you go. I want to see how wild you got.
All right. And then, hey, we forgot this last week, so we're going to try to do better. Hell, we introduced a new feature, Shane, and then we forget all about it. So we're bringing it back. Weekly bold predictions. right, Shane. So we got weekly bold prediction. And you know what? Since I forgot, and it was, blame me, it's all on me. I forgot. I'm coming with two bold predictions on this one. How's that sound?
Okay, I got one.
Okay. I didn't tell you to bring two. So again, that's on me. But shout out. We've been very hard. Well, not hard. We try to keep it real, right? But I see the Mizzou fans in the mention, Shane. It's like been a daily thing here. They are feeling betrayed over here.
Yeah.
How about this for a bold prediction here? Their new running back. I would imagine very few SEC fans have ever seen him play. Played at ULM last season. He led the nation, though, Shane, in rushing among all freshmen, over 1,300 rushing yards. He's going to lead. Ahmad Hardy. He's going to lead the SEC, Shane, in rushing yards this fall. Thoughts on that one?
Man, I mean, that is a... I'm trying to think of all the running back, all the possibilities here. You know what I'm saying? So what drew you to this conclusion? I mean, was this just a gut check, or was this, you heard some good news, or what is it?
I mean, everybody that I talk to that's, you know, studied the film and all that. Again, I watched his highlights and stuff like that, but everybody loves this guy. It's a combination of that. It's a combination of Missouri. I think going to have a really good offensive line.
Yeah.
I think with this new quarterback, Bo Prabula, again, we don't know what he is. He's a wild card. I don't know how effective he is as a passer, but I'll tell you one thing I know for a fact about old Bo, Shane. He's a runner. So I think they're really going to be able to keep people honest, because you got to honor Bo. I would imagine early in the season, Bo's going to have some hellacious runs to where they're like, oh, God, we got to start covering this guy, right? And what's that going to do? That's going to lead to Hardy killing defenses. I really do think so. I think Missouri is going to be a little bit more ground and pound this year. And they've been pretty effective on the ground every season under Eli Drinkwitz. That's one thing you can't say. I mean, he's got many, many running backs to the NFL. I think Hardy's his next one.
That's crazy that that's even a bold pick, just because, like you said, of all the running backs that Drink's been involved. I mean, even back to App State, he was putting guys in the league. So I think there's a lot of people that have this guy as the number one running back in the SEC, some of even the country. And I think you may be right here. That's what Drink wants to do, establish that running game. And then I don't think they're getting completely away from the flash, but you know, we're going to get back to the ground and pound for sure.
Okay. Oh, we got a big one here, Shane. Shout out cousin Lewis Hookham. He just gave us $50, Shane. Here's my contribution for my Longhorns. Been a member for 6 months. Love it. We love that, Luis. So right now, looks like it's going to be Texas, unless anybody can beat it.
Absolutely.
Texas leading the way 50-0 here. But, so
hey, we're going back to Cracker Barrel.
all right. So then I said I got one more for you, Shane.
Yeah.
One more bold prediction. Sticking with the running backs here.
Yeah.
Trying to spread the love, but again, I'm pretty confident. I know these are bold predictions, but I'm confident in them. I've talked this guy up this fall or offseason. Jaden Ball, Florida running back.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a running back, Shane. I thought he was fantastic last year. He's a big back, he's a powerful back, he's got the speed. He's gonna lead the SEC in rushing touchdowns. So give me Florida's Jaden Ball to lead the SEC. He had 7 last year, which was 15th in the SEC. So he's going to make a big jump his second year in Gainesville.
Well, you in the Florida, I thought, hey, we're going to get through one show without promoting something down in Gainesville. Nah, not so fast, my friend. We go down there, pick the rushing touch. There's a lot of good candidates. I mean, there's a big old boy up in Arkansas, I think could lead that chain, you know? So
yeah.
Is there opportunities? Let me ask you this. In your heart, because one thing I'm noticing in 2025, Mike, is there's a lot of mobile quarterbacks out here. Do you think there's a chance that the leading touchdown, rushing touchdown, is a quarterback instead of maybe Ball?
Oh, yeah. I definitely considered it. And
yeah.
Specifically, Norris Sellers. I kind of put him up there.
Mm-hmm.
But also... I don't know. I'm just seeing on the goal line.
Yeah.
again, can Sellers do it? Certainly. Hell yeah. And maybe he's not. Maybe it's John Mateer, who's a really good runner. Maybe it's, hell, you know, who's an underrated runner. We talk, well, we don't specifically, but the damn country talks this guy up like there's no tomorrow. Arch Manning.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a runner. I mean, he could, but again, lead the SEC in rushing touchdowns. I don't know. I think he'll probably get at least five or six, but, yeah, last year, I think it was Samson with 20 or something crazy like that. I don't know if anybody gets the 20 mark this year, but yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a pick there. I mean, and it could be, wouldn't it be funny, Shane? I pumped up Hardy. What if it was Bo that led the SEC in rushing touchdowns?
Yeah, you had the team right, just the wrong guy. So I just wonder, because I feel like this is going to be a year with a lot of quarterback touchdowns. You know how sometimes we get to the end of the season, we're like, oh, yeah, we're looking at the top 10 and three of them are quarterbacks. I feel like that's what's going to happen this season.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Shane, I gave two.
Yeah.
Who is your – you got a bold prediction for us?
Yeah, very bold. And I think it's a little skewed, Mike, maybe because we just talked about this wonderful – red football team down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I just feel like there's a team that is destined to be SEC champs. It hasn't been there in a while. They got it last year. Yeah, no. My bold pick is that Georgia wins the SEC championship.
Well, they are, I mean, they are being disrespected all offseason, aren't they?
Oh, I know. There's just something about these beat up dogs. You know what I'm saying? I can hear. There was a hype video that came out that the SEC Network put out the other day, and it was just Kirby acting crazy on the sideline and stuff. And I go back to some of the conversations that we've heard, some of the leaked conversations from those locker rooms. I can only imagine what poison is going to be spewed in that locker room this offseason, Mike. This team is, I think, destined, maybe not for a national championship. We'll get to that. We'll cross that boat when we get there. But I do think that winning the league is the most important thing for Kirby right now, and I feel like he does it again. So give me Georgia as SEC champs this year.
Okay. Hey, yeah, and hey, I probably should have led with this, Shane, but we just had K-Ford ratings.
Yeah.
We posted that on Saturday night, so go check it out. But again, he says very, very, very slim margin between these, but he's got Texas one, Bama second, and Georgia third. So it goes along with your theme. Not a lot of people picking the dogs, sleeping on them dogs, Shane, even though, you know, they still got a monstrous schedule. People don't talk about what a monstrous schedule Georgia has. They always talk about Florida and Oklahoma. But people don't perceive it as such because Georgia's so damn dominant. But this year, they get all seemingly the tough games at home instead of on the road, with maybe the two exceptions at Tennessee, of course. We'll see what the Vols look like. And then maybe, perhaps, Florida in Jacksonville. So at Auburn, too, I guess you could – I know you would make the case for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But a lot of people would. That's a fair one, too.
Yeah, and that's my bold take, is picking last year's SEC champ. But I do feel like they are getting slept on a little bit just because of the way the playoffs ended. Texas getting a lot of love. Clearly, Bama's starting to get, you know, pick up some love. LSU, there's these fringe teams that this could be the year, all like Auburn and A&M maybe. But South Carolina even, I've heard that one. But I just feel like still Georgia has got the reins on this league. You know, they may not beat Alabama, but by God, they'll find their way into an SEC championship and win.
Yep. All right. Hey, one other thing I wanted to get to before we get down to the best home field advantages, yeah. Shane. I don't know if you saw this. It was a couple of days ago. We've been in fall camp preview, so I kind of been holding off on this. Mm-hmm. But the SEC has announced a bunch of kickoff times and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw it up here on the screen here. Now, we already knew, sorry for just flying through this, but here's essentially what they've done. If you can see the screen, they've announced early, afternoon, and night kickoffs. And then several games are what's listed as flex, which means they could be afternoon. So think of the old classic CBS time slot or night. So again, they've announced a ton of these. And we've already known the first 3 weeks that have been out for a little while. So I'm gonna kind of blow past those. All the times are out, all the kickoffs, all the coverage. But starting week four, September 20th, so these are out now, and we've got some interesting flex games here, Shane. Again, not a great week. It's still kind of slow. We're still in non-conference land, but here are the key flex games. Tulane at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So I think they're waiting to see how good Tulane is. Maybe that's a night game with John Summerall. You know, he's a hot coaching candidate. South Carolina at Mizzou. Buddy, that again, let's throw up Mizzou's schedule real quick. Again, that's their critical game here the first couple weeks. Well, obviously Kansas, but more I'm talking about in terms of SEC. You really want that to be a night game.
Mm-hmm.
But they may make it an afternoon game. And then another one that this is absolutely huge, Shane. And they haven't decided whether this is going to be a night game or an afternoon. This is another flex. Auburn at Oklahoma. I think if you're Oklahoma, they're probably waiting to see what Oklahoma looks like against Michigan, and they're probably waiting to see what old Auburn looks like against Baylor. But if they're both undefeated, which very well could happen, I would assume that'll be a night game. But again, that is still up for debate. It's still up for to be flexed. So I thought those were pretty interesting. What's your thoughts on? I mean, to me, it's potentially a massive advantage for Mizzou hosting South Carolina, a huge potential advantage for Oklahoma hosting Auburn, but we'll have to wait and see when they officially announce them.
Well, as Nick Saban once said, I'm only worried about week one, Mike. We can get the flex. No, I saw these when they got posted. A lot of schools were talking about the flex games and stuff. You know, at the end of the day, when we get late September, we're going to start identifying who's legit and who's not. You know, there'll be a little bit of separation by the end of the month. So I'm not too worried about what time you have. Although I think any primetime SEC, I would love to see like the Tulane game. I do think John Summerall is a great coach, and I hope Tulane is a little better than they played in the bowl game with Florida there. But that one could be a great matchup, but it also could be like a preview to this guy next year in the SEC. So I'm not so much worried about the time right now, to be honest with you.
How about this one though? The following week, this is I don't know who the hell decided this, Shay, but it pissed me off here. Notre Dame at Arkansas.
Oh, then that's stupid.
11 a.m. local time there, so it is nationally televised. But hell, Arkansas needs every break they can get, and that's a marquee game. I mean, how often do you get to host Notre Dame? I feel like Arkansas really got robbed here by having an 11 a.m. kickoff with Notre Dame.
Arkansas just can't get night games, and when they do, they pull off upsets. You know, so I would honestly prefer a night game just for the fans' sake, but I do see the slight advantage of having a noon game. Notre Dame is not going to be expected to lose this one.
Mm-hmm.
You catch them. It could be a great thing for the Razorbacks, but I want to watch it at night because that seems when it's more electrifying.
And then Auburn at A&M, that's been announced as an afternoon game. So that'll mean, either 3:30 or 4:30 Eastern. So yeah. I feel like that's a little bit of a break for Auburn right there.
Yeah, no, I like that one. That one's going to be a fun one to watch. I'm looking here. Yeah, that would be fun.
And then our flex games, LSU at Ole Miss. I have to assume that's going to be a night game. Mm-hmm. Tennessee at Mississippi State, Kentucky at South Carolina. But we don't know. Those will be afternoon or night.
Yeah.
And how about this? I wanted to call your attention to this, Shane. Kentucky at Georgia the following week. Noon Eastern. You might say, what the hell? Kentucky, Georgia? I get it. But for whatever reason, Shane, Kentucky plays Georgia like better than anybody in the damn conference. I don't understand it. But even last year, I mean, Kentucky was awful, right?
Yeah.
They took Georgia down to the damn wire. Now, will they do it again next season? Very, very unlikely that that'll happen. But I mean, the fact that they're making it a noon game, that gives me some optimism if I'm a Kentucky fan that we can slide in here and undetected in the middle of the night and just contend with Georgia for a little while here.
I love this. And, you know, honestly, I think it's so good for Kentucky. I saw a tweet earlier. I'm going to try to get it up while you're talking, but I'm going to post it. This is one of my favorite photos. Stoops comes out drinking and smoking, and I'm just thinking, damn, has Kentucky got something we didn't know about? This feels like one of those typical Georgia-Kentucky games that gets into the, late in the third quarter, and right. there's an 8-point difference. You know what I'm saying? I do still think Georgia wins this game, but this one being pushed that early, I don't know. Maybe if you get one of those over-unders, you may want to favor Kentucky in this one.
Yeah. Again, the point spread will probably be 30 or something.
Yeah.
And it'll be a 10-point game. You know, I mean, I can't explain it, but that's just the way it is. And then how about this? This is interesting, Shane. Texas at Florida flex. So yeah. Not sure if that's going to be a night game or not, but that would be a huge advantage for Texas if they can avoid mm-hmm. the swamp at night. Now, again, I would almost bet that it is going to be a night game.
Yeah.
But that, man, what a tough one that would be for the Florida Gators if they're at LSU, at Miami, and then they come home to Texas and the TV throws them on at in the afternoon instead of the evening. I don't know. I want that game at night. I don't know about you.
No, I just found this photo. I got to post it here. So this is from Big Blue Kodak. Look at Coach just having him a good old time there, drinking probably some of his bourbon there and having a cigarette. He's ready to whoop Georgia's ass, ain't he?
What the hell's he? Yeah, I think he's just enjoying that buyout life before it even hits him. You know
what? That's what people are saying. They're like, that's a man that knows he's getting a $44 million check at the end of the year, whether he wins or loses.
Now about this, another one, Shane. The next weekend, October 11th, travesty here. Travesty. Alabama at Mizzou, 11 a.m. 11 a.m. Oh, this could be the damn best game, Missouri. I know they're all fired up about Kansas. I don't give a damn about Kansas. Bama's my team, my pick to win it, the SEC this year. This is your opportunity to prove to the nation that you are elite, and they're sitting here saying, oh, well, you can play that game at 11. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah. No, that one is uncalled for. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Kansas is coming in here with a bad team either. So I feel like there would have been a lot of people watching this one. They missed an opportunity. So yeah, terrible pick.
Red River again, 2:30.
Alabama. I'm sorry. The Kansas one's at 11, and so is the Alabama game.
The Kansas games. I said I don't care about Kansas. I think
it's 11 too.
No, I think it's 2:33, something like that. But Alabama's at 11 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, maybe they're going off last year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of people turned that game off after the first quarter.
Yeah, I hear you. But I didn't, Shane. Didn't.
They got the leading running back, you know?
And then they got Georgia going to Auburn at night. I assume that would be the case.
Yeah.
But again, Auburn can be quite hostile. We're about to get to the home field rankings, and some people think it's the best home field advantage and I think it's ever existed in the world. You know what I mean? I'm not putting it up there, but again, Georgia having to go at Auburn, there's Auburn's opportunity to prove that they are playoff contenders.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I make this game great again, you know? So this is one that we haven't really got to enjoy in a long, long, long time. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't even know it's a rivalry.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's true. I mean, you polled Texas and like they said, hey, pick Georgia's, you know, two rivals. Auburn wouldn't be on that list. You know, they'd probably put Alabama, Georgia Tech or something, you know?
Right. Right.
Florida maybe.
So the rest of these are, again, Shane's right. I mean, these are months away, and this is, we'll kind of figure out when these games are really popping, but just kind of the ones we've highlighted already were kind of the standouts for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Flex scheduling. I'm just ready to get into this thing, Mike. Aren't you pumped up for football? Seriously, it was the fall camp previews that kind of got me there, but you know, I've been doing the countdown, and the nice thing about doing a countdown is you know, I post one a day, but I also see like five a day. I go through them, you know, and right. then you're like, oh, I totally forgot about that game. Like tomorrow I've got the catch, the miracle down at Jordan Hare. You know, I have that one going to be posted, but there was also another fantastic Julio Jones screen against LSU in, you know, 2006 or whatever year was there that actually they won. So it's like, you're going through all these and it's just getting fired up. So sorry, I'm a little excited about college football.
Well, I'm excited, Shay, because we got a donation from Brandon. Happy Father's Day to all the cousins, got the fam watching the show. All right, Brandon, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it.
We got his Ole Miss Rebels coming up on Tuesday. Liquid says football starts when media day gets here. That's what it is.
It's right around the corner, man. We're already planning it. Maybe that's why I'm excited.
All right, let's get into home field. Best home field advantages, Shane.
Yes. Yeah.
And again, I made this graphic a couple weeks ago. This is kind of when I've been thinking about it. And I'm not just going off the records, but here are the records. I just want to just throw it out there. And again, I know it. SEC fans, they get mad, Shane. They say, well, Oklahoma wasn't in the SEC for the last 6 years. Texas wasn't in the SEC the last 6 years, so
right.
Why are they up here? But, well, because they're in the league now, damn it. And, I'm just showing you what the records were. And just because Georgia, 34-1 the last six seasons at home, doesn't mean it's number one. Alabama, 38-2, doesn't mean that they're number two. But, you know, just for a reference, I thought these were kind of valuable and kind of certainly kind of gives you an idea of just where things have been recently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's important, you know, because when I put the list together, that was a factor. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you made a joke about this isn't your papaw's team.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a little bit of a transition of power, and you have to acknowledge it. You can't say, okay, well, this place used to be extremely dominant in the 90s or 2000s. You know what I'm saying? We're going into 2025. Mm-hmm. What have you done for me lately? But it's not everything, because when these teams get hot, that's another way I look at this, is like, if this team started off 5-0, how violent would that stadium be? So there's a couple of reasons that I kind of adjusted mine, right, if you will.
No, I got you 100%. So I probably should have ran this by you. I just did the top 10.
Yeah, well, I kind of did. I did top 10, but I did it more in like tier system. So,
okay. So here are the teams. You stop me if I get to one where you're like,
that's should have had them higher.
Yeah. So again, there's got to be a cutoff, right?
Yes. Yes.
And again, these teams have won big games at home. I think mm-hmm. they're capable of winning big games at home. But if you're asking me, Shane, if I'm going into the insert stadium, which ones do I fear the least?
Yep.
Vanderbilt. I mean, come on. It's still under construction.
wait a minute. So are you starting from 16 up, or what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you said
10 and then you went to Vanderbilt. So is right. Vanderbilt 10th?
I'm listing the ones that didn't make the top 10.
Got it. Makes sense.
And you let me know if I'm dead
they're
wrong.
On there. They're on there.
Yeah. So Vanderbilt, not a top 10. I mean, that's obvious, right?
Now, if they had 50,000 whistlers out there, they may be on to something, but no, they're off.
Another one, Kentucky. I have seen Kentucky rocking. You can win some big games there, but not top 10 for me.
Mm-mm. Now, them seats may be painted blue, you know, because they're going to look a little empty this year.
All right, and then another one, Shane. Again, these fans really hate that when I say this, but they've been outstanding lately. I'm not taking away from anything of their program or anything like that. I don't think Ole Miss is a top 10 home field advantage. I really don't. It's a smaller stadium.
Yeah.
I didn't even really consider Ole Miss.
No, I mean, fun environment, you know. I think that if we're doing tailgating, they're definitely on top of that list. But as far as
maybe fans, number one, just, tailgate.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, there's some things you will lead in. But as far as hostile environment, I do not have what is it? Vaught Hemingway? Is that how you say it? Yeah, I don't have them in there.
Yeah, and staying in the state, I don't have Mississippi State either. And maybe that's
just need more cowbell. You know?
Maybe that's just the current state of the football program, but I just it's not an intimidating place right now. Now, again, it can be, it has been. Mm-hmm. You know, that year they got to number one, they were beating the hell out of everybody at home, except for Bama. I don't have Mississippi State as top 10 right now.
No, but it is a unique sound. And if you've not been there and you're not listening to cowbells just constantly, it is a unique environment. I will say that it almost feels like a high school game on steroids. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of steroids, not comparing. I'm not comparing Mississippi State to a high school, but if it were a high school team that hosted 70,000, I don't know how many they have there, then that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't, you know, their fans got mad at me last year, Shane, because I had them pretty low. Mm-hmm. I think this year they'd agree with me. Give me Arkansas. I do not have them in the top 10. Not a currently a great home field advantage. Although they did beat Tennessee, but that was their lone big win here in a while.
It could be, Mike, but it's not there right now. And I don't like the fact they use two stadiums, and that's not my spiel, but I'm just saying, I just think maybe that takes a little bit away from it as well. But yeah, I'm right there with you. It's a fun environment. You know, I think that this could be a great place, but if you're playing at noon all the time, it's not a scary, scary situation to walk into.
And then final one for me, Shane, so then we can get into the top 10. You let me know. Sounds like we're in agreement all the way up to this point. Their home field record has been outstanding here lately, so I may be way off the mark. I do not have Missouri as a top 10 home field advantage.
Mm, tell me you've not been to Missouri without telling me you've not been.
Huh? So I'm missing what? Who do you not have as a top 10?
I don't have it ranked like that. Let's see. No, I mean, I had Mizzou slightly missing it myself, but your list is wrong. I thought it was great. I really did think that the whole, I think it was skewed a little bit because it was so cold. Maybe the problem with that I had was the tailgate scene, you know, even though they were very inviting and it was awesome. It was a slow start. It was one of the slowest starts to tailgating I've seen, and I'm going to pin it because it was snowing. So maybe that was part of it, but as far as in the stadium, my section was freaking rocking. I'll tell you that right now. I was drunk. We had fun. It was one of the craziest football games. And I think that's why I was so close to putting them in there, just because of how wild that environment got. It was a cool scene, but it's right there. I mean, the SEC is loaded with home field advantage.
I'll tell you what, Shane, they whoop Alabama's ass, they beat A&M's ass, and beat South Carolina.
Yeah.
We'll have to put them in this list next year.
Yeah.
You got to go out there and do it, you know?
Well, and two, the stadium's getting bigger, you know? So right. More bodies in there becomes a louder environment. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just science.
All right. So here's my top 10.
Yes.
Numero 10.
Mm-hmm.
Texas. And I docked him. I docked him, Shane, for we've seen the water bottle throwing, right? So again, lost to Georgia. They're pretty damn good. Again, their record is pretty elite here at home. Yeah. Not necessarily SEC, but I think it's solid. It's very solid. I think it's more they have an excellent team now, is why they're winning so many damn games at home. But I would not put it among the elite in the SEC.
And I thought you liked it. I'm trying to figure you out, Mike. Just when I think you like Texas, you come up with this. I'm surprised you didn't kick them out of the top 10. But you are right. and I would have – the only reason that I would have moved it up is, like you said, because forget the home – forget the environment. If you come out of there with a loss, then it's a tough place to play. So that's – You can't argue with that. I mean, hell, Alabama, I'll never forget when they went over there, they barely survived. You know what I'm saying? It took penalties and missed calls for Alabama to win a damn football game. So do I credit the home field advantage, or do I just credit it being an early game and Alabama wasn't ready? I do think Texas is a tough place to play, but look for them to – it's different. It's a different town, I could tell, you know. It's not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. All right, same deal. I think number nine. I mean, the record's elite, Shane. I think the fans are a little bit spoiled.
Yep.
And I think if you're going to this place, you're more afraid of the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Alabama, number nine.
Ooh, Mike.
I mean, maybe. I got a problem when the coaches say, well, hell, you got to stay, you know, don't leave. Of course, it's because they're whooping ass. But, yeah. You know, when they're pulling a Lane Kiffin and saying, oh, man, it would sure be nice if the fans stayed and rooted for the team. You know, I heard Nick Saban say that one too many times for my liking.
I've got them two spots higher than that. What have they lost? Two games? Can you bring that record thing up again?
I saw Texas go in there and whoop their ass. I know that.
38-2 the last 6 years. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they had the goat too, you know.
I don't know. Maybe it's the ball in me. There's been a lot of games I've watched down there that I didn't want to play. So I naturally want to push him up higher. But again, I'm kind of with you. Bama is a little bit spoiled. I think they're coming around though. You know, they are halves that have had for a long time, but now that they don't have it, they're getting a little more passionate for it. It also, it kind of reminds me of that transition that Georgia had a few years back, you know, for them old heads getting out of there. And finally these kids are like, hey, let's make this place special. I feel like that's what's going on. Still a little too much money floating around in them tight, you know, they ain't watching the game, talking to each other about their stock portfolio. That's what I feel like happens sometimes in the Bama game. But you're right. This is a place that is tough to play just because of the football, because of the product they put on the field. But environment, I have them a little bit higher than you, two spots higher.
And I honestly, Shane, I had them eight, but I can't put who I had nine. I moved them to eight. I can't put them any lower than eight.
Mm-hmm.
Give me South Carolina, where on certain nights, Shane, this place probably top three, maybe even higher. I don't know. But on others, I don't know. It's a very winnable place to play sometimes. I don't know how to explain it. They got some damn voodoo down there.
Yeah.
Hell, I know they've had some tough times here, but you're 24-16 in the last 6 years at home. Give me South Carolina at the eight spot.
It's tough. You know what I'm saying? Because William Bryce at night is, I think about the Texas, you know, for me, it's not so much about every game that they have in the stadium. It's about certain games. You know what I'm saying? It feels like it's based off the opponent and what the stakes are. And sometimes this place is unmatched. I mean, it's the toughest place to play. I have it a little higher just because I love South Carolina. I don't know why you hate them all of a sudden, but, and I've been there, and you talk about tailgating, by God, Mike, that's one of the, you know what I love most about that tailgating? It's flat, you know, and it's easy to get everywhere you need to go. A lot of places. I didn't even get to all the sections there in Columbia. So them boys and girls know how to drink. They know how to party, and they know how to watch a damn football game. And at night, I've not had the privilege of watching it. I can't sit here and say it's not, but I got them in a different tier, Mike. I got South Carolina hired. Sandstorm next, kicks on. It's crazy.
Next week, Shane, we rate the flattest.
The easiest tailgates to get to.
All right, number seven. I got a newfound respect for this place, Shane. I think the stadium's rocking.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the tailgate scene, kind of like you were saying with Mizzou, it's got a long way to go to become elite in terms of SEC quality. But give me number seven, Oklahoma.
Mm.
I love that place. I that stadium was fantastic. Maybe the best fans in the conference, Shane. I mean,
yeah,
at least to me. So give me Oklahoma number seven.
Yeah, I can't argue. I this is one I had a little bit higher or lower, I guess, what number you're looking at. But still, top 10 for me. Does it get loud? Yes. But is it feared nationally? I think that's kind of where I'm looking at these tiers, you know.
Right.
There are certain teams that go there expecting to lose. Not a lot of SEC teams are doing that right now. Now that may change after a year or two, and then all of a sudden this place is, you know, it's like waking a sleeping giant. I do think that that could happen. I just don't think it's there now.
I'll tell you who wasn't afraid. That is now, Shane.
Who's that?
This guy. DeBoer! Whooped Alabama's ass, you know what I mean? So, that place could get rocking in a damn hurry. So, I loved it. All right, now here's good.
Steven says, quit talking food or we'll lose Shane.
Here I'm like pulling teeth here because this was tough. You know, you want to be in that top five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just outside. I got number six. One of the best environments, but I don't know. I don't know how to equate this. You know, this is so hard to do. They're not winning a lot of huge, big time games at home. Give me A&M, Texas A&M, number six. Now I know they beat LSU last year at home, but I'm trying to think that I know they won a bunch of games, but I don't know. I think A&M should be top five with the biggest stadium right in the SEC, I believe. But I don't know. So many losses there that it's. They have the potential. It feels like I'm talking about their damn football program.
I know. You feel like every booster that's down there, you know, because, you know, it's funny you mention that. There's three teams that I'm kind of going back and forth on, and this is one of them. You know what I'm saying? I have seen elite 12th man, the place rock. Nobody wanted to play there. It was hot. I mean, Johnny Manziel time, even though the stadium was smaller, it felt like no one wanted to go there, but it's kind of slipped. You know, how many 8-4s can you do before people aren't fearing you as much as they should at home? You know what I'm saying? I mean, hell, you got to win some big games. You got to win them at home. And I do think they're on the cusp of doing something special there. They're not quite there. So, yes, this is part of that three-team mix that we're getting into. A little murky based off performance the last few years.
Yeah, Cousin Bo makes a good point. They get $100,000 for non-conference games. This ain't fan rankings.
Yeah.
They got elite fans.
Yeah.
That's where you get, you know, elite talent too, because they pay. I mean, they're doing everything they can to support the team and get them over the top. It's just not been happening. So I don't know. Again, could you put them higher? You could, but I'm not.
There's a lot of. There may have been 100,000 at Dollywood this weekend. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the parking lot was crazy.
I think they'll probably win every home game this year, right? Again, the key ones: Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, South Carolina. I mean, there's some losable games there, but they should. If they're top five, those games may not even be competitive. If they're top five, home field advantage.
You know what? I'm moving them up. He's right. I'm moving it. A&M doesn't belong here. A&M belongs. I got them in the fourth spot.
Okay. Yeah, you might be right.
Top five. Yeah, because you are right. This loyal fans, they show up here. You know what I'm saying? This is, if it's not easy to get 100,000 people to show up, especially when you're firing coaches and going through training. I mean, it takes true passion to be there, and this place can be electric. I mean, they got unique stuff that going on during the games and stuff, but I would say top five. Because I have seen it. I think 2000, Butch Jones, 2006, that place was crazy down there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. All right, number five.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that's been in the news lately here, Shane. Give me them Auburn Tigers. Again, all the bad stuff I say about Auburn. I still think they got they're kind of like South Carolina, where the right time, that place got a little voodoo, but it's not had the voodoo. Now again, they'll say, "Well, hell, Brian Hart." They blame literally. I mean, I think many of their divorces they're blaming on Brian Harsin. You know, even though he had a better record than Hugh Freeze. But he's not all to blame. But how about the time, Shane, when old Cadillac was your head coach and you beat A&M? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's nights like that where it's rocking. Last year, A&M, that, again, A&M, a theme here. But, you know, that place can get rocking. It's one of the best environments. It's been way down here lately. And I think there are years where it probably was top three. I've docked it down to number five.
Yeah, I have them one up from you. Wait, so
six or four?
I have them five or four. So no, Texas A&M. Then I have Florida at the lowest part of here. This is a part of that three headed monster I was telling you about.
Oh,
and the only reason I put Auburn in the middle of this is because, like you, I'm an old man, and I remember the crazy voodoo that's happened down there. Like you mentioned, it's some of the wildest things. I told you about the miracle. Well, I mean, some of the wildest plays you've ever seen happen in Jordan-Hare. But I will say this: it hasn't happened lately. You know, it takes more than just an Iron Bowl upset to say this place is back. You know,
right.
We've got to have. There were games last year that the fans could have took over. I think about that Vanderbilt game. Like, there's no reason that couldn't be a moment for the fans to take over and make it a hostile environment. And it just, I didn't get to see it. It's almost like a roller coaster down there. There's some great nights. There's some bad days, you know? So that's kind of why I got them there.
Okay. Now, number four.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. They would have it be close to four, in my opinion, in a couple years ago. But they have elevated themselves, Shane. Give me Georgia Bulldogs. Maybe should be even higher. Again, this is a tough one. Are you rating the team? You're rating the environment? I think they have turned it into a top four every time it gets disrespected, Shane. Buddy, they respond in a big, big, big way. I don't think they've lost a home game since 2019. Of course, they haven't lost many games since 2019. But give me Georgia.
Well, I had A&M here, and I have Georgia higher. So I'll go ahead and get them out of the way. I think Georgia's the third spot. I could even argue second. They're creeping up, man. I mean, again, home field advantage is not only about crowd noise, but it's about being feared. And that is a fearful place to play football in Athens, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. How many games they lost in the last 6 years down there?
One
damn game. And we're sitting here saying, I think they belong in the top. No, they may be the top one. You know what I'm saying? Ask those other 34 teams what they thought about them. So, I'm a little bit biased about, I mean, you know where this list is going. And, but I do think that this is a place, especially when they're pumping in sound, you know, is an electric place to play.
Hey, shout out Cousin Luis. Shane, he's the one that gave us $50. Cousin Mike, Cousin Shane, will y'all be willing to come down to Texas? Club suites, unlimited food and drinks. What say you? That sounds like a plan right there.
Sign me up. Pick the game. I'm rare. You had me at food.
Yeah, Texas got number one home field now, you know.
Oh, we were just messing with you. Get the real list out, Mike.
All right, number three on my list, Shane.
Yes.
And I'm really splitting the hairs, this top three. I think they're kind of in a league of their own, personally.
Uh-huh.
Give me LSU. LSU number three.
Wait, LSU? Are we talking about the same LSU?
Same LSU that got their ass whooped by Bama at home last year. Same one that could have lost to Ole Miss, probably should have lost to Ole Miss. Tennessee went in there and ripped them a new one a couple years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So
here's the thing, that LSU, I don't know what kind of politicking they're doing. They get literally every game at night.
Yeah.
I don't know why the SEC caters to them. Well, I think I know why, but they politic for more night games than anything, so the SEC doesn't. But I think that's a little bit of an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Playing every game at night?
Yeah, because it's the toughest place to play at night. Now, obviously,
you look at wins and losses. I think are tougher.
You look at wins and losses. those drunk Cajuns down there, you get them rocking. I'm telling you, brother, when LSU, because it wasn't that long ago, Mike, I mean, it was three years ago. They were electric. 2 years ago, they were electric. Yeah, they fell off a little bit, but I think it bounced right back. This is the ultimate sleeping giant right here. It's Death Valley at night, and you're talking about a feared place to play. Forget the football team. It's just a tough place to play. It's hot. It's humid. It's like you put a blanket on you. Everybody stinks. You're drinking. The environment, they're playing neck 10,000 times over. You know, I mean, it is crazy. Not to mention the experience going to the place. It is intimidating. It's like if you're writing a book for intimidation, this is exactly what you'd mimic it. Number one, and forget the recent bias. I'm just saying, whenever teams are going to play, if there's a primo, if team A, team B are meeting at this stadium, I'm telling you, it is the most electric environment.
Well, I put them number three. It's not like I'm saying they're dog shit, but geez Louise, says sweaty balls down there.
Yeah. I mean, Coach O was always sweating when you saw him down there. You know what I'm saying?
So number two, Shade. Again, Maybe I'm biased. Give me Tennessee, Neyland Stadium. I mean, it's, again, the record the last couple of years, maybe not. Well, the last couple of years, it has been elite. Yeah, they have one of the best home field advantage I'm rating for this upcoming year. Mm-hmm. Because of Josh Heupel and everything they've done there, they have turned this into, when you talk about feared.
Yeah.
This is what I think about. I think of Tennessee is the only one that goes in there that beats them. It's Georgia. And hell, Georgia beats everybody. So, yeah. I know.
They're cheating, you know, so whatever. You'll be exposed.
I think Tennessee's elite.
And I'm not saying that because I'm a big orange homer, but I mean, the place is crazy, especially at night. It is an awesome place, awesome venue, awesome tailgating. I mean, we're throwing mustard bottles, golf balls, you name it. It's going to make its way to the football field. This is a violent place to play, and they always find a way to keep it electric, you know, even during TV timeouts, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I cannot disagree with you here at all. Number two, give me Neyland.
So number one, I got a graphic here and everything, Shane.
Yeah.
Only one we haven't hit on. Give me them Florida Gators. Come on, Shane. Nah. I think it's a hostile environment. We could go back to this real quick. Again, look at where they're at. Look at where their team's been. You know, that to me is the outlier is, again, if you remove Oklahoma, which maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't, top four in the SEC in home field advantage, Florida's had about the 12th best team during that time. You know what I mean? So
yes.
It is one hell of a place to play. It's hot. It's humid. It's muggy. It's everything you said about LSU. Those damn Gators, they come out at night, buddy. And give me Florida. I think it's the most hostile place to play in the SEC right now.
Are they slipping you money that I don't know? Is there like something going on that you haven't told me? I haven't heard from our tax guy yet. You know, I'm just trying to figure out all this damn love for the Swamp. Is the Swamp a crazy place to play? Absolutely. Back in the day, people would wear. I've talked to a lot of people that go to. They would wear either neutral colors into that stadium so they wouldn't get spit on, so they wouldn't get shit thrown at them. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't even wear their team colors in there because it was such a hostile environment. It's not the 90s anymore, man. It's not the early 2000s, brother. Is it a loud place? Absolutely. Get 100,000 people together, it's going to be loud. But I don't think the Swamp is as intimidating as five other teams we've talked about right now. I mean, you're Athens in the Swamp. Get out of here. Which team, if you were, let's say, Arkansas Razorbacks and you're walking into Gainesville, walking through the tunnel and you're going to play a football game there, or you're over in Athens coming out, face Kirby Smart and his boys, which one is more intense? Which one's going to give you bigger butterflies?
Yeah. So you skewed the whole thing. You said Kirby and his boys. No, it's not about the team. It's about the environment. It's about the stadium. It's about the place, the fans. The answer is okay. Florida Gators. Who who ruined multiple playoff bids last year, Shane? Is it Florida Gators? They beat Ole Miss, beat
Lane
LSU. Kiffin
shot himself in the foot. You giving?
How about LSU? Your LSU Tigers? They'd be in the playoff if not for Florida.
Faked out everybody. It's a big scam. That's what it is. They got lucky with LSU. They got lucky. Tulane. We just talked about how good Tulane is. Everybody put a pin in it and said, "Oh man, look out Tulane." Well, Tulane sucked in the bowl game. Man, they were out. They didn't care anymore.
Well, that wasn't a home game.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Hey, Cousin Adam says, Shane's acting like Mike told him Huddle House is better than Waffle House.
Get the hell out of here. You ain't going to believe this, Mike. It may bring you back, but they're putting in a Waffle House down here at the exit. Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there.
So which one you got the biggest? It sounds like Florida, certainly, but which one is your second biggest issue here? LSU at three?
Yeah. I mean, you're not far off here. I've got LSU, Tennessee, Georgia, and I have Florida, and it's not like, again, we're splitting hairs here. I just told you how bad Florida is, but I still got them around the sixth spot, I believe. Yeah, so I got Texas A&M 4. I've got
LSU 1.
Yeah, I got LSU 1. I got Tennessee 2, Georgia 3, Texas A&M 4. Auburn 5, Swamp 6, and so on and so forth. So we're not too far off here, but the Florida one just kind of surprises me. I mean, it's almost feels like we're basing it off how good we think they'll be this year. Yeah.
No, I'm basing it on all the damn games they win at home, Shane.
That's SEC Mike. Tag him. I'll put my list out there. I'll get the one the thumbs up. You send the shit his way.
Liquid says, but the environment at Huddle House, though.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, hey, buddy, anything else before we hop off the line?
No.
Cousin Bo says your list's way better.
Thank you. Thank you, Bo. Appreciate you, cuz. See, that's my burner. That's where I went. I was mad. Oh, jeez. No, I appreciate everybody hanging out with us on Father's Day. And I know there's a lot of dads out there. I appreciate everybody. I think the funniest meme I saw, you know what? It's Sunday night. I'm going to say it. You go ahead and talk, Mike. I'm going to read this one here. I thought it was hilarious.
Ashley Schaefer, B&W, said, here's his top ranking, Shane. Neyland, Neyland North, and Neyland West.
Here it is. This Sunday, thank your dad for bringing you into this world because your mom probably wasn't even in the mood. Oh, no. Hey, I appreciate everybody. Thanks for the thumbs up. Be sure to have those notifications on Tuesday or Monday. We'll have Steven. Obviously, the smart one will be here tomorrow. Tuesday, we're going to have,
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. And then
Wednesday, we'll do
Texas. Leading right now, right?
Texas on Wednesday. So those will be our next two team previews. Don't forget to check out the Kelly Ford interview that's posted this weekend. Get a lot of engagement, a lot of positive buzz with that. So, hey, we appreciate each and every one of you. Happy Father's Day. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls. Damn Gators.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.